This morning, if you want to take your Bibles and make your way there, James chapter 1, verses 1 through 12 will be our text for consideration. James, the servant of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is as a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, and the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat than it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. This section of Scripture is all about trials. It's all about the difficulties that we face in life and helping us to see some good in those things, helping us to gain an understanding of those things so that we're better equipped to help others and better equipped to serve our Lord. Someone has said that if you want to never lack for a congregation, then simply preach to the hurting. I think that's true. I think everywhere we go, everyone we meet is fighting a battle of one kind or another. They may be at a high point in life or they may be at a low point in life, but we all fight battles. We all face problems. We all have difficulties. And so if we preach to those that are hurting, then we'll always have an audience, because everyone at one time or another falls into that category. Now, when we talk about those that are hurting, we have to understand that we may be hurting in different ways. We're not all hurting in the same way. Some are having difficulties in marriage. Some are having difficulties with their children. Some are having difficulties at work or difficulties at school. Some are having health concerns and health problems. But we all are facing difficulties of one kind or another. And so this is a lesson that hopefully will help us to understand our need for hope and our desire for something good, something better that is to come. Then in the morning lesson, we're going to talk about the cross. We're going to talk about the basis for our hope. And then tonight, Lord willing, we'll talk about the church. And we'll talk about the coming hope for the church as Jesus returns for His bride. Do you remember when you were in school and there was a teacher, there was a class that no one wanted to have? Everyone tried to avoid that teacher. Everyone tried to get out of that class. But many times there was no way to get around it. Many times it was the only teacher that taught that. It was the only class that was offered. And so you had to take that class. How excited were you when you found out you had to take that tough teacher? How excited were you when you found out that that course that you had been trying to avoid was necessary in order for you to get your diploma or to get your degree? Probably most of us were not very excited about that. But you know, life is like that. Life is a very tough teacher, and it teaches some very hard lessons. And we can't always avoid life. We can't always avoid the lessons that life has to teach us. They're simply a part of living. And all of us at one time or another will have to go through those classes and take those teachers. I remember when I was majoring at Jacksonville State University in English that one of my teachers was Eugene Williams. Some of you may know Mr. Williams. He's a great teacher. And I had to have a course in advanced composition. And I was dreading that course. It was the only thing that was offered. He was the only teacher that I could take in order to have enough hours that semester. And so I took that class. He was a little bit intimidating. He walked into the class, and he's pretty tough, pretty stern in nature. He has thick glasses, which lets you know he's done a lot of studying, a lot of reading over the years. And one of the lenses was kind of taped over a little bit. It was some type of eye correction. And so it was kind of difficult to look at him and to pay attention to him. But he was very, very stern, very, very direct in what he said. And I remember the first paper that I had to write for him was a short story. It wasn't any more than a page in length. And I'm thinking as I'm writing this paper, this is not much of a paper. It's only a page. How much can be wrong with it? Well, I soon learned that there could be a lot wrong with a single page of writing. You remember when, maybe in school, when the teacher was handing out papers and you could see through the paper as the teacher was bringing the papers out and you could see all the corrections even through the backside of the paper? Well, I saw that. He corrected papers with purple ink. And so my paper was bleeding purple. There were very few words that were not circled, very few places that were not taken up in the margins where he had made corrections of this kind, one kind or another. But I got the opportunity to rewrite it and rewrite it and rewrite it. I must have rewritten it about 10 times. Never did get it to where there wasn't any purple on it when it was returned, but it did get at least to where it was better. He was a tough teacher, and that was a tough class. But I learned a lot from that class. It helped me. It made me a better writer as a result of going through that. And that's true of a lot of the difficulties that we face in life. If we could choose not to go through them, we wouldn't go through them. We would go around them. We would avoid them in some way. But we're not able to always do that. But many times when we come out on the other side, many times when we come through those things in life, we look back and we realize that we've grown. We realize that we've learned some things from going through those difficulties. And so these tough teachers and these tough lessons sometimes are just what we need in life. Notice that James says when, not if. Notice James 1 and verse 2. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." He doesn't say if, he says when. These are things that all of us are going to go through in life. In fact, the Bible makes that very clear. The Bible does not paint a rosy picture of Christianity. The Bible does not paint a picture of Christianity without giving us all the details. Jesus says in Luke chapter 14 that we are to count the cost. A king going to war, he counts the cost, whether he has enough soldiers to finish and win the war. Those that are preparing to build, they count the cost. They don't want to get halfway through the building and not be able to finish. And so the Bible's up front. The Bible's honest about Christianity, both about the blessings that we have in Christ as well as the difficulties that we'll face sometimes because we follow Christ. We're going to face some struggles in life. In John chapter 16 in verse 33, Jesus said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." He didn't say you might have it. He said you will have it. You're going to face tribulation. You're going to face difficulties. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." We're going to face some type of persecution. Now, it may not be the persecution that the first century church faced. It may not be the persecution that other people in other places in the world face. But it will be persecution nonetheless. We're going to face that. We think about Acts chapter 14 in verse 22 where Paul says that we through much tribulation must enter into the kingdom of God. Paul not only said we're going to have it, he said we're going to have a lot of it. There are going to be times of life when it comes flooding in. There are going to be times in life where we're going to be overwhelmed by the things that come our way. That's life. And I'm not trying to be discouraging about this. I'm just helping you to be realistic about it and to understand that when these waves come, that they're not out of the ordinary. And that they're not superhuman. That they're not something that someone else, somewhere else, isn't facing and hasn't faced. Now, these are things that come into our lives, and we need to be aware of it and be looking for the good that comes from it. There's a commercial that comes on television sometimes. I think it comes on during sporting events and things like that. And so that's probably why I've seen it, maybe why you've seen it. But it's a Tommy Copper commercial. They make sleeves for knees and for elbows. They allow some support. They allow some healing to take place if you've injured your knee or injured your elbow. And so in the commercial, they're talking about the benefits of their product. And they're interviewing different people. And one of the people that they interview is a bull rider. And he says, it's not a matter of if you get hurt, it's a matter of when and how bad. And that's true. I don't encourage you to choose bull riding as your profession. That's a pretty dangerous profession. And if you choose that, it is not a matter of if you get hurt. It's a matter of when. It's a matter of how bad. Because if you get on the back of something that weighs 2,000 or 3,000 pounds, and his intention is to get you off of his back, he's probably going to win more times than not. And it's a long way down, and the ground is hard. And so it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when and how bad you're going to get hurt. And that's true of life. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, it's a matter of how bad it's going to happen. We have to be prepared for that. Now, when we... James tells these brethren to count it all joy when this happens. Go back to that teacher. Go back to that class. You didn't jump up and down like that old Toyota commercial. You weren't excited over the fact that you had that teacher or had that class. But James says count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Find the joy in it. Realize that there's good that can come from it. Now, there are three reasons why we can count it all joy, and that'll be the focus of this lesson. We can count it all joy because of what comes from it. That's patience. We can count it all joy because of what comes during it, and that's wisdom. And we can count it all joy because of what comes after it, and that is heaven. So if we keep these things in mind, then we'll examine the difficulties of life and we'll gain something from the difficulties of life that we might not otherwise. James says that we count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations. Now, these are not temptations that divers face. This is not the problem of running out of air underneath the water. This is not the problem of coming face to face with a shark. That's not what James is talking about. James is talking about the different temptations that we face in life. You might read it there, diverse temptations. Temptations of all different kinds. Temptations of all different colors. The Greek word that's used here is the Greek word poikilos. It is a word that means multicolored. It's referring to the fact that temptation comes in all different colors and all different shades. Now, the beautiful thing about this word is that it's used in other places in reference to grace. For example, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible encourages us to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That word manifold is the same word, poikilos. It means multicolored. And so we have temptations of all different colors. But then the Bible says that we have grace of all different colors. Now here's the beauty of that idea. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible encourages to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When we go through the difficulties of life, when we face these trials of all different colors, we can find grace to help in time of need. We can find grace that matches whatever the trial, whatever the temptation is. Have you ever gone to a paint store to get a color match? You know how important it is that things match perfectly. Somehow, whenever we paint, we run out of paint and we have to go get more. And you go and you buy another gallon of paint. What happens if it doesn't match exactly? Well, you've got a problem. You've got a huge problem because you've got to repaint the whole room because it doesn't match perfect. What happens in life if there happened to be a trial of one color and there wasn't grace to perfectly match that? We'd have a huge problem. Because we would be facing something that we really didn't have the help that we needed to be able to get through it. But the Bible tells us that we have grace to help. We have grace that matches perfectly. Do you remember Paul during his struggles? That Paul had a thorn in the flesh. I don't know what that was. The Bible doesn't tell us what it was. But do you remember that as Paul besought the Lord time and time and time again for that to be removed, what did the Lord tell him? My grace is sufficient. Paul, I'm not going to take away the thorn, but I'll give you grace to help in time of need. Paul, I'm not going to remove the thorn. You're going to have to deal with that, whatever it was. But Paul, I will give you grace that will match that problem perfectly. My grace is sufficient. It's not lacking in any way. God's grace is never lacking. God's grace is always up to the challenge. It's always up to the test. It's always exactly what we need when we need it. God's never behind. He's never outdone by the difficulties or the problems of life. Now notice that James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." Fall into them. There are some people that create their own storms and then complain when it rains. They create their own problems and then they complain about their problems. That isn't what James is talking about. James is talking about those that fall into temptation, those that fall into difficulties, those that fall into problems. They don't create them. They don't go looking for them. They don't make them and then complain about them. No, these folks aren't doing anything to create them. They're just trying to get through them. You remember in the parable of the Good Samaritan that we read about the man that was traveling? What does the Bible say about him? He fell among thieves. You remember that man got beaten up, he got robbed, he got left for dead. Did that man do anything to deserve the beating that he received? He didn't walk up to some big guy and push him. He didn't go up and start a fight. No, he fell into that situation. He didn't do anything to deserve being robbed. He didn't walk up and start showing all of his money and start tempting somebody to do that. He was just trying to travel from point A to point B when that happened to him. He fell into it. There are things in life where you don't do anything wrong and still you have that hard blow that comes from life. We're not very far removed from what we read in the book of Job and what we read throughout the Old Testament, where when something bad happens to someone, our assumption is they must have done something to deserve it. Well, look at James chapter 1. What did these brethren do to deserve this? They didn't do anything. They were scattered abroad. You know why they were scattered abroad? Because they were trying to follow Jesus. They were trying to preach and teach and serve Jesus. That's why this happened to them. They fell into it. They didn't create it and then complain about it. Proverbs 26 and verse 17 talks about the man that meddles with strife not belonging to him is as one that taketh a dog by the ears. So Solomon's giving a parallel here, giving the illustration of this. He says the person that goes up and he meddles with things, it's not his business, but he gets involved in it anyway. He begins to meddle in it. That man is going to get in trouble. But he's created his problem. In the same way that you might walk up to a strange dog and grab that dog by the ears, what's that dog more than likely to do? He's going to snap at you. He's going to bite you. Is he a mean, vicious dog? Maybe, maybe not. But you created the issue. You created the issue by grabbing him by the ears, by putting him in a position to defend himself. You created that problem. Sometimes in life we create our problems, but these brethren had not done that. These brethren had simply fallen into these issues. And James says, you count it all joy. One of the things that historians tell us about the first century church is that the world was watching and that the world was impressed with what the world saw in these Christians. And one of the things that impressed the world the most was the joy and the hope that Christians had in spite of their problems. Peter, in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's within you." The world was watching and the world said, "You're going through all of these bad things, but you still have hope. You haven't quit. You haven't given up. You're still pressing forward." The world says, "We want to know how you do that. We want to know about that hope that you have in you." You remember the Colosseums? You remember the gladiators? You remember how Christians were persecuted in the arenas? One of the things that historians record is that the Christians didn't die grimly. They died singing. Christians in the arena. Big iron gates go up. The lions are released. Death is sure. It's going to be a violent, awful death. What are the Christians doing as the lions are approaching? They're praying and they're singing. Because they know this will soon be over. And there'll be an eternity. And in eternity, none of these things enter there. And the watching world, the world was watching. And the world said, "How can you face death and be singing?" We want to know something about that. And James is going to tell us how that's possible. First of all, it's possible because of what comes from it. That's patience. James chapter 1 and verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience." James says you can count it joy because